Hey, welcome to Card Subject to Change. I am the Wizard CZ, and with me is tougher than a $2 steak, Nick Bull. How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing great, CZ. How are you doing?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. We're just getting over a big weekend in wrestling. A lot to talk about. So I think we should just dive right on into it.
Oh, absolutely. SummerSlam was definitely headlined Saturday night and all of Sunday when you have the biggest party of the summer, as they say in Nashville. Second biggest pay-per-view of the year traditionally for WWE. But this was, a significant pay-per-view, the first one that Vince McMahon didn't have his hands in. He didn't have the final say in everything that went with this. So a lot of fans tuned in, and I think a lot of fans were happy with what they saw.
I can agree with that. I think it's the start of a new era. Triple H, I see good things in the future. I'm anxious to actually see Raw tonight, though I'll be watching it on a bit of a delay. I think there's good things. And like I said, there's a lot to touch down on. Honestly, I think the first thing we need to touch down on is Triple H's move. There's word out that Naomi and Sasha Banks are more than likely coming back, and that's got to be thanks to good old Trips.
Had to be Triple H's number one priority. You had to get Sasha Banks back before she fell into enemy hands, if you want to say it, the competition, which would be, directly Tony Khan and AEW. I'm happy that's fixed up. Those two both have a spot definitely on the show. And you add Sasha to that mix with Bianca and Becky, you got a little something special. So obviously he got that job done. I look for other guys just off the top of my head, CZ, Karrion Kross, Johnny Gargano.
Gargano for sure.
Do those guys who were at the end of NXT and loyal to Triple H, do they come back now that he's in control of creative?
I tell you, if we're bringing people back, you mentioned it, Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Gargano, I'd love to see a reunion, if I can talk, of him and Ciampa DIY on the main roster. I think that'd be fantastic. They'd take the tag division by storm.
It would breathe fresh air into a tag division that's pretty stale now. You got to give credit to the Usos and the Street Profits for what they've had. But last, on Saturday night, that's effectively over with, right? The Usos win the feud. It's time to move on. I know they have big plans for Montez Ford in the future. Rightfully so. That guy has got it all. It's going to be fun to watch him really explode.
For sure.
Here in the next few years. I think he's got a world championship within 3 years, but that's just my opinion. I think he's really explode. But having DIY Gargano come back, you have something for Ciampa to do too. And Ciampa was a Hunter guy, and Ciampa's a great worker, a great wrestler, instead of just a ringside standee in for Miz. So I think you're gonna see guys returning to roles that they need to be familiar in. One in particular, we won't waste time on this one, but Max Dupree, LA Knight. I mean, what a crime, what they've done to him. The guy's a great talker. He can work. He's safe. The fans respond to him. And at the same time, he's going to go do Maximum Male Models. Sorry, CZ. I can't say it with a straight face.
I can't hear you say it with a straight face. So in honor of bringing LA Knight back, I'm just going to give you a big old yeah.
Yeah. but I think we can say that wrestling's going in the right direction, and maybe the next pay-per-view, this one in England in 5 weeks, will be the true test. Hunter's got 5 weeks now to build storylines for that pay-per-view, and it kind of started at SummerSlam.
So – speaking of SummerSlam, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. You mentioned Sasha Banks possibly.
Oh, absolutely.
Be good pairing for Becky and Bianca. Let's talk about Bayley and her crew coming out. I thought Bayley's return was fantastic. I didn't like the way that they brought in Dakota and Io just because of the separate entrances. I thought they should have come in as a team, but I love it. I know that Bayley's been pushing that team to come out for a long time, been getting denied. I think that is going to be stellar.
Yeah, this pairing, the grouping of these three could take on like a bloodline, what the bloodline's doing right now. You've got three people who can work in the ring, three people who can talk, three people who are entertaining. Being that heel female faction, which, when was the last time WWE had one? We haven't really had a female faction, tag teams, we really haven't had a full-on female faction. I kind of like this. I love how they brought Bayley back. I heard her music hit and I was like, yes, that it sounded so cool. and the fans were happy to have her back too. And I'm really happy out of all this for Io Shirai. I thought she kind of got buried on the NXT card. I think right now she is a top five female wrestler in that company. And hopefully she is going to get showcased as well.
I think that'd be great. She is phenomenal in the ring. She is phenomenal out of the ring. She looks great. High flyer. I think if she gets pushed to the moon, then there's nothing but good right there. That's fantastic.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And maybe it starts tonight. Maybe we should have the feeling right now. Of the WrestleMania after, or the Raw after WrestleMania, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's kind of a new day, a new era for WWE. So I'm going to be honest, I usually don't sit and watch the full 3 hours.
I'm with you.
Follow along and then maybe tune in the last hour. That's what I do. But tonight, first segment will be interesting, and I'm not going to miss it.
Yeah, I like I said, I'm watching it on delay. I've got something going on right when Raw starts, but I think they're going to come out of the gate swinging, and I think it's going to be nothing but blue skies from here on out.
One thing, you talked about the female wrestlers return with Bayley and Dakota Kai, and she's Io Sky, which that's fine. I thought when Edge returned, and this is the thing I liked least about the show. Loved it. The crowd didn't. No. I was expecting a huge pop. I'm going to credit that to the crowd not knowing new music and who it was. I think of his old entrance hits, the place is bonkers. And that didn't look like Edge coming out.
No, it didn't.
Edge found the fountain of youth. He must live in a bariatric chamber because that did not look like him. He looked like 15 years younger. He looked prime Edge when he was the rated R superstar. He looked great.
Yeah, I can agree with that. On that match, one thing that I've kind of been waiting for and hoping would happen, I know that they're probably iffy doing it, but I would love to see, since that was the Mysterios and the Judgment Day, I would love to see Dom turn on Rey. I think that'd be a great storyline. You can bring in, Rey's been doing a lot of nods to Eddie. So you can bring in Dom saying something like, "You're not my real dad," as a throwback to that feud. I think that'd be fun.
And then we could build it for a year. And then next year it's Rey Mysterio versus Judgment Day for the custody of Dominic.
Yeah. As long as his custody papers are not on a pole.
Now, I'm glad you brought up Dominic, because I've seen a couple things online today, and it's hard to argue. Logan Paul is further advanced in the ring and a better worker than Dominic Mysterio. Which I find odd, but at the same time, Logan Paul's pretty athletic. You have to be an athlete to do what Logan Paul was doing. But he was also in there with The Miz. The Miz made him look like $1 million, and credit to him. And Logan Paul came off looking bulletproof in that match. He looked infallible.
Yeah, I was very impressed with that match. I was impressed with him at WrestleMania. He's got a lot of skill. I don't know. I'm hesitant when these celebrities come in and want to play wrestler. Pat McAfee, I wasn't too thrilled about when he came into NXT, but him and Logan Paul, Pat McAfee, we'll get to him in a few minutes, but some of them can really shine through, and the people they've been bringing in to actually wrestle, with the exception of maybe Bad Bunny, who was okay, don't get me wrong, but the celebrities that have been coming in and have actually been staying around wrestling have really impressed me. And I don't know if that's the training to get them ring ready, if that's their athletic background in general, but it's they've done a really good job bringing these people in who you look at on paper, they have no business in the wrestling ring.
Right. Everyone thought he had no business in a boxing ring, but there's not a lot of people going eight rounds with Floyd Mayweather. I know it was an exhibition, but Logan Paul's made a name for himself, and I think he's in a place where he can be a wrestler if he wants to. And I know he looks committed to the craft. He definitely doesn't look – it's believable when he's in there. And that's what it's supposed to be. He's supposed to make you believe. And he looked great in that match.
And that
I get what you say about the celebrity thing. No, go ahead.
That dive he did off the rope onto the announce table. Oh my God, that just looked amazing.
That was like a Shane McMahon type dive when Shane was really young. When he jumped, I couldn't believe how high he jumped. Like, I was impressed. I won't say a bad thing about his ring work. The one thing I will say, it's not Logan Paul's fault. The celebrities coming in, you're supposed to get money, eyes on your event. I get it. I like to see two other people, you know, in those spots instead. But, hey, you've got Randy Orton hurt. You have Matt Riddle, who was, you know, hurt. I don't know if it's legit or not, but it was not on the card. You got Big E, who's out. You've got Cody Rhodes, who would undoubtedly been a part of the show. I thought WWE did a great job when they're so face short, so good guys short, and they put out a good product. And the guys who didn't wrestle on the card, like when McIntyre did his promo in the middle of the aisle, that stuff, that's cool. That's something different. It's outside the box, and you wouldn't have seen that before.
No, and that's good. I like they don't incorporate a lot of those promos in the middle of a pay-per-view. Pay-per-views, they focus on the feud that's either they're in the middle of or the feud that's coming to an end. And seeing McIntyre come out, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. I thought that was brilliantly done. He had the crowd with him, and it's a great build for the next pay-per-view 5 weeks from now.
Yeah, it is. As corny as this sounds, it gave that segment an intimate feel despite being in an NFL stadium. Like, I love how they shot it. It was the camera and the crowd. Guy had a camera on the shoulder. They used wide shots. They used the overhead zoom cam. And it made him look like this last hope that WWE has to take on, you know, now we know it's Roman Reigns. And I'm interested that place will be crazy. You know, you look at SummerSlam 92 and how crazy the fans are over in England for wrestling. And this one will be no different. And yeah, they got 5 weeks to build a great card. And essentially you could say this is the first pay-per-view where Vince has nothing. You know, they were going to ride the storylines of SummerSlam. SummerSlam was probably already written. Now this is Triple H's company, and take the ball and run.
Yeah. Now I'll tell you the one thing that I was not happy about with SummerSlam, and I've got issues with the whole SmackDown women's title scene as it is. We'll talk about that, but I just felt the end of the Liv Morgan Ronda Rousey match felt way too much like what they did with the Usos and the Street Profits last month at Money in the Bank. The screwy finish just felt like, hey, we saw this a month ago. Why are we doing this again, only with a different title?
Yeah, I wasn't happy with a screwy finish, but it probably leads to a rematch on Raw, right? I didn't like it. I understand Ronda Rousey became champ and then realized she couldn't work the dates and went to the company, credit to her, and said, I want to give it to the most deserving person in the locker room. Well, everybody thought it was Liv Morgan. I'm sure she's a great person, but they've been trying to effectively shove Liv Morgan in everybody's faces the past year and a half, 2 years, to no avail. I don't sense a connection. I know I'm not the only one. I know there's fans of hers, and I'm not saying she's not that good. I'm just saying is I don't think she's going to catch on. And I know you didn't like the screwy finish, but I don't know how else you can't have her cleanly beat Ronda.
No, that's fair. That's very fair. The other thing I'll say about Liv Morgan, and I don't know that the WWE has the utmost confidence in her, because after Money in the Bank, it took them 3 weeks to get custom side plates for her belt. She had the WWE logo for 3 weeks before she had her own branding on her title. And I don't remember in recent history that happening with any other champion.
Maybe they were on back order like everything else is nowadays.
Yeah, but you'd think a billion-dollar company, multi-billion-dollar company like the WWE would be able to push that through a little faster.
And now you have that belt on her with Bayley, Sasha, Naomi returning.
Yeah, that's going to be masterful. I'm anxious to see where people land. I'm anxious to see when Sasha and Naomi are actually going to return. But I think a lot of things are going to depend on where they land. Like which brand they land on. Are they going to be SmackDown? Are they going to be Raw?
Yeah, a whole lot has to do with that. I'd like to think if they're both back, I can't see Liv Morgan having the belt after Clash of the Castle. Can you?
No. I'd be surprised if she keeps it past the next pay-per-view, honestly.
Yeah, I would too. So all the more reason to definitely tune into some programming in the next few days, because like we said, we had the returns and we don't know who's going to be going where.
Yeah. The other thing that I was disappointed about, but at the same time, I can live with it, is SmackDown is one of your big four events. They did not have the Intercontinental title on the show at all. I think WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, you got to have your belts. But at the same time, there was really not a place for them to fit it in.
I don't even know if the Intercontinental Championship still exists. I mean, that new version of it is not a good-looking belt.
Nope.
And WWE hasn't cared for that belt since Roman Reigns and Miz is champion and only working, you know, part-time. Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm with you.
And, I mean, we get the United States Championship, which – nothing against Bobby Lashley. I think he looks good with the belt on him, but that's another championship that it's just a placeholder now. There's no meaning behind it.
Sadly, you know, that's kind of what wrestling has come to. I wish the you know, the mid card and the lower belts mattered more. I do. It used to be when they put the Intercontinental Championship on you, it was just a matter of time before you were going to be getting that title shot and more likely becoming a champion. So, yeah, it's a disgrace. It's not defended. And hopefully that's something that gets fixed here real soon. I read something in the weeks leading up to SummerSlam that since 2013, only two guys have defended the title at SummerSlam, and that's Dolph Ziggler and The Miz. So if you want to say effectively 10 shows and you have. Right. And it's been a while since those guys were Intercontinental champions. So they need to put a little more work into that department. I would definitely agree with you.
Yeah, I hope they do. And I hope Triple H's regime puts more meaning on those titles. I'm glad you mentioned Dolph Ziggler, because he's someone that he's getting up there. He's probably not going to be wrestling for a lot longer. Maybe, I don't know how much longer he has in the tank, but you'll probably be looking at him retiring in the next 5-10 years at the most, is my guess. Maybe not, but I'd love to see him with a title, with a world title before he leaves again. I think he's one of the most underrated people they have. And I always love when he's had the belt 2 times, always loved it when he's had the championship. He's been a great face of the company when he's held the world title.
Yeah, for a guy that's been around the company as long as he has, it's a shame that he hasn't gotten more main event push. Never seemed like he's been a problem backstage. He's well-liked. He's safe. But for some reason, just Endeavor has really clicked with, the previous decision maker. So hopefully that changes. I'd like to see a program with him in theory and somehow the briefcase is taken control and won over by Ziggler, because Ziggler was a Money in the Bank winner. It'd be kind of cool for him to do that again on the later part of his career.
Didn't that happen with someone else where Ziggler basically stole their belt, their briefcase? I'm trying to remember my wrestling history. I don't remember who it was off the top of my head, but.
Right. Yeah. I'll have to go back and look and connect the dots. My mind's a little blurry, but yeah, I'd like to see it again, but it's like opening a big present, with this next episode of Raw with all the different possibilities.
What is your opinion of Theory, since we're talking about him?
Absolute prodigy. He can talk. He's got a look. He can work. And look who he's been put in the ring with. I wish they'd bring back the Austin to it instead of Austin Theory. I mean, he's still Austin Theory to me, but
yeah,
I think he's kind of got the same projection as Montez Ford. I think these two guys right here are going to be two guys that you're going to see around for a long time.
I can agree with that. I don't know.
How about you?
Honestly, I think he's a great worker. I loved his stuff in NXT, especially when he was paired with Gargano and in the way. I thought everything they did was fantastic. I don't know that I would have put the briefcase on him as early as they did, but I get it. He's fantastic and he deserves to have it. I just don't know if he deserves to have it right now, which is why I'd love to see what you suggested and Ziggler come in and be like, yeah, put the briefcase on the line. I'm going to steal it from you.
Right. I could go for that, them two in a program. They both can talk and, they're both good in the ring. I like watching both their matches. Anytime they're on, I stop and I don't fast forward through those guys' matches. I like watching their matches. So I hope that's on the horizon. We shall see. Might have to have another celebrity pairing in there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
I want to get to this before we forgot about it, because you mentioned it earlier, Pat McAfee.
Okay.
I have no problem with Pat McAfee being in the ring, knowing that when he knew he was getting into wrestling, he hired Rip Rogers, who's a famous trainer down south, and had Rip live with him and daily worked out with him. So when you bring in a guy of that caliber, Rip Rogers' caliber, former NWA tag champ, a known trainer, people are sent to him and work with you. Plus, he played in the NFL. I don't care if he was a punter. He's still an athlete. And
for sure.
he looks great in there. I was entertained. Even the few times he slipped on the corner spot where they were trying to do a suplex, where he jumped up and slipped and got to his knees and got right back up. They were talking about the humidity, and you've seen Lesnar slip on the railing in the main event. So I think he looks great. I love the fact that he's a fan. You can tell he's a fan, and it's not fake for him, and that he actually loves what he's doing.
Oh, for sure. He is in there. He's living his dream. Like I said earlier, when he showed up in NXT and was going against Adam Cole, I was like, who the hell is this guy? And what business does he have in wrestling? But he has evolved so much. Seeing him behind the commentary table, I was hesitant still when they first put him behind the desk, but he has grown on me so much. And his in-ring work is nothing to laugh at. He's doing his job. He's doing really well when they put him in the ring. Your everything you said is absolutely correct.
Yeah, I don't know if I hope he had his moment at WrestleMania, SummerSlam. Maybe another few down the road, but right now I hope he just goes back to the desk and let's get something else in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I think we should talk about commentary at the show, because it definitely felt like they were let off the leash. I mean, Jim Ross, Michael Cole, everybody has talked about how Vince is always in their ear. Say this. Why the hell didn't you say this? You're fired.
Right.
But this show, it just felt natural. Some of the things that were said were just so off the cuff and amazing. Like, the line that sticks out to me is in the main event. Michael Cole is sitting there. Brock Lesnar's down. He says, "Oh my God, count faster." And you know that wasn't fed to him. That was a brilliant line.
It was. And just like you remember spots from matches, you remember the commentary from matches too. I mean, how many times do you think about a match with Jim Ross? My God, my good God in heaven, you know? That was kind of that thing for Michael Cole. Michael, that match. Well, I think they almost killed Lesnar, but Michael Cole, they're having fun. And you could tell that during the Corbin and McAfee match, when he got shoved by Corbin and he's an emotional, like, yeah, he's having fun, but at the same time he cares. And exactly. I don't know. I think Michael Cole is definitely in the conversation, you know, not up there with Jim Ross, but for the longevity and how well he's done as an announcer.
Yeah, I completely agree. Corey Graves, I can put in that picture too. I never thought I'd like Corey Graves as a commentator either. His color commentary is top notch. I mean, like you said with Cole, maybe not Jim Ross level, maybe not Jerry Lawler level color commentary, because let's face it, Jim Ross and Lawler, you and I both grew up with them. They're always going to be our commentators, but
sure.
But yeah, I mean, the commentary was just outstanding throughout the show. And I think that's a testament to Triple H not getting in their ears, feeding them lines, and just letting them have fun.
Yep. We haven't yet addressed the elephant in the room here on card subject to change, and that was the main event, the last man standing match. You'll probably go longer than I will on this. I'm going to tell you, I was told ahead of time it was very unique match because I watched it on delay. Yeah. I was entertained. If anybody comes away from that complaining that it was stupid or it was too over the top, it's pro wrestling. It's supposed to be. And I loved the interjection of the tractor with a loader. We've never seen that before.
No.
We've never seen the ring get lifted up like that before. We've never seen someone fall out of a ring like that before, like Roman Reigns did. And then the brutality of that match, it was perfect. I loved it. Entertained. Is it a 5-star match? No, but not every match has to be.
No,
that exactly. Match was fun and had my attention, and it delivered. Absolutely loved it.
And I am 100% in agreement with you here. when Brock first brought that front loader in and slammed it into the ring before he lifted it up, the ring moved a good 2 feet. You hear Michael Cole, "Corey, get out of there." They're probably freaking out thinking the ring's going to come right into the commentary desk.
I laughed at that line. "Corey, get out of there. I'm in Kid Rock's lap."
I don't for the life of me remember who was reffing that match. I wish I did. I'll have to go back and look. But when Brock first got in the tractor to move the ring, that ref got out of there like nobody's business. He was out the ropes and gone in like 2 seconds.
He was that was his cue to get the hell out of there, right?
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was well put together. The fact that Brock comes out, he stops halfway down the ramp, he looks back, he sees the tractor, brings it down, starts it on top of the tractor, and the Fez press onto Roman to start the match. That just set the tone for the whole thing.
Yeah. And everybody was ready for a big fight, and everybody got a big fight. I mean, you can't walk away saying you were undefeated or you were disappointed with that match. Maybe the outcome, if you didn't want Roman to win, you wanted Brock to win. But, dude, that was great. That was a greatly put together match. Haven't seen anything like that in a while. It was fun. It was fun to watch two guys just beat the crap out of each other for 35 minutes.
Yeah. And I equate a lot of the thing with the front loader to when you see like Big Show and insert other giant wrestler suplexing someone and the ring breaks. It's unique.
Right.
You don't see it. My favorite part though has to be Theory coming out and Brock just F5ing him to hell onto the briefcase.
Yeah. And then said briefcase was used to pretty much put down Brock Lesnar. Man, he took a lot of hits from the briefcase, but yeah, Theory. I'm going to be interested to see what happens with Theory tonight. Does that count as a cash in?
Oh,
I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
I don't think.
Are they going to count that as? I don't think they can count that as a cash in. But we'll see.
You know, we're talking about the main event. We can't not talk about Roman. And I looked up some statistics. This is day 701 and counting. Roman Reigns is number 4 on the list of all longest reigning champions. And you got to look at who he's in company with. Bruno Sammartino, Pedro Morales, Hulk Hogan. And I only say three names and I say he's number 4. He's actually number 5 on the longest reigns because Bruno had 2 reigns that are in that top 4.
Yeah, this has to be looked at, you know, teacher's grade on a curve, and this has to be looked at that way too. All three of those names that you mentioned and those reigns are very significant. But I'm going to tell you this, they didn't have the commitments, the programming, the shows that the modern day wrestlers do. What I'm saying is Roman Reigns has put his neck out there a lot more probably than those guys did. But in turn, Roman Reigns is getting paid a lot better than those guys did. Those guys paved the road, absolutely, but they weren't doing TV 2 nights a week and then going out and doing 50 minutes every pay-per-view. So I look at his a little bit differently. His is also during a time when fans get bored easier. Our attention spans aren't as long.
Yeah.
I love the Reign. No pun intended. They've done it perfect. He started by turning his cousin's heel and then kind of having them against each other, then on his side. And then you bring Heyman into, I mean, Heyman, by the way, my favorite performance from Saturday night was Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman in the post-match celebration getting carried off by the Usos is, I was wiping tears. I was laughing so hard. He is so good at what he does. So good.
He is.
And him getting hauled off by the Usos. And he's so good, man. He is so good.
And, you know, I love Paul. I agree. he's in the running for the best manager of all time. I don't know if I'd put him there next to Heenan. I think it's a toss up, but yeah, his work is just off the wall. Fantastic. So
it's cool watching a master.
No, I completely agree. We're talking about the title match. We're talking about Roman's historic reign. So, two-part question for you. First part, can Roman last another 300 days to surpass Pedro? Second part, who now can legit beat Roman Reigns?
Well, before Cody Rhodes tore his pec, I would have told you it had been Cody Rhodes. With that momentum coming off those matches with Seth Rollins, I think if he didn't get hurt, he wins Money in the Bank and cashes in on the 4th of July, which was Raw, and gets and beats Reigns. However, he got hurt for a reason. This is supposed to simmer over time, I think. And I think he's got to be the one. I really would like to see Drew McIntyre do it.
Especially in Cardiff.
I think Drew McIntyre got a host. He was a two-time champion and never was in front of a crowd. He dropped the belt to Lashley at the WrestleMania where the fans were spaced out, but he never got to really work in front of a crowd as champion. I'd like to see that again. I'd like to see him win and get his chance.
And I was just talking to our friend DJ about that. I think seeing him in front of a crowd with the title will make a world of difference. I completely agree. I don't think he had a fair shake during the, I guess what they call the Thunderdome era, because that live element was not there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would totally agree with you. He just has got to ditch that sword. It kills me when he cut the ropes a couple weeks ago and the sword bent. Swords aren't supposed to bend.
No, no. So let's switch gears a little bit. We're talking about
we never really talked about the opener.
Oh, fair. Okay.
I'll just brush over it. I thought it was a good match. I didn't think it was as good as the WrestleMania match, and it introduced the wrestlers at the end, so it was good for that. But WrestleMania match was it's easily the women's match of the year in WWE.
So, unpopular opinion. I don't like Bianca Belair.
Unpopular opinion. Me neither. She's great. Don't get me wrong. Doesn't stick with me.
Yeah. Her ring work is solid. It's the character that I think she'd make a better heel, especially with this EST gimmick that just screams arrogance and heel to me. And I was put off from the beginning in NXT when she started whipping people with her hair.
That hair like that is pure heel move.
Yeah.
If a face wouldn't use their hair to whip somebody. So I'm not a big fan of it. And she's great. I mean, she's great. I'm just not really a fan. And I think she's the right person to have the belt right now. Becky doesn't need the belt. She's so over, whether she's working face or heel. She's so over, so she doesn't need it. But Sasha Banks is on the horizon. And I'm guessing Sasha Banks negotiated maybe a title run or two into her contract and coming back. So that's something that I'm definitely going to keep an eye on. And hopefully, it'll shake out after tonight.
So the question that brings to mind, we mentioned Sasha again. What happens to the women's tag titles?
I think they're done. I think they're just going to do away with them. I don't know. We haven't heard a hide nor hair of them since that whole thing went down. Didn't have a tournament. Or do we have? Who are the champs on WWE?
There aren't any, as far as I know.
The ladies' champs. And there were on NXT, and they trashed the belts as well. They threw their belts away.
Did they? I missed that.
Regardless, yeah, NXT has been hard to watch since it's been, you know, just a paint splatter. That's what it is now. It's just a paint splatter on the DVR.
I hate it. I can't stand it.
I don't like it either. I don't. And that's something that's going to get fixed as well. A lot of things to get fixed for sure. But solid SummerSlam card, I think. I don't think you didn't really need to fix anything on it. I thought it was a perfect card for what it was. And was it the greatest show ever? No, but it was a lot better than what we've seen recently.
Oh, I completely agree. And I don't think I would change anything about it. I think it was what it needed to be. And I'm looking forward to where they're going to go now.
That makes two of us.
So one thing that I wanted to talk about just briefly, I just wanted to touch on it, is former WWE guy getting what he should have had in WWE. And that's Claudio Castagnoli. Now, the ROH World title as significant as it once was, as significant as the WWE title? No. Love it. Love it. Absolutely. But I think Claudio deserved to have a world title back when he was first in ROH. Definitely deserved more than one opportunity that he got in WWE for the world title, and probably should have held that belt before he left.
Yeah, I'm with you on all those things. I'm happy for him. I will argue this. I would argue the AEW, or I would argue the Ring of Honor World Championship has more to it than the AEW Championship. And I would say this. 36 different people have held it now. It's been defended around the world on several occasions over several years. I love the fact that he has the belt. I love the fact that there are AEW guys over in Ring of Honor, and they're having matches of the year. I mean, the FTR and the Briscoes, let's talk about them too, along with, you know, Claudio. You know, they've had two of the top three matches of the year.
Yeah.
Because they're given time to wrestle. And that's what the fan that, and if you, that's what you want, Ring of Honor. They're going to funnel you that way for that. Now, Castagnoli becoming champion, there was some fallout from that, as Gresham was very upset. We've heard this before about people being upset, not getting communication from Tony Khan. Chavo Guerrero, it happened to him. It happened with Brian Cage. It's happened now with Jonathan Gresham. But regardless of that, you can't use the PWI 500. To schmooze the boss to book you in better spots.
Right. No, I completely agree. You mentioned FTR. Those guys are the best tag team in the world, hands down. They've always been fantastic. I mean, just what the letters stand for in my mind, fuck the Revival, because that's what WWE basically did to them. And then they came out stronger than ever, in my opinion. Just like Claudio seems to be doing himself.
Absolutely. And I hope we get a match like they teased at the end of that pay-per-view with FTR against Claudio and Wheeler Yuta. I'd love to see that, but you're right. They're tag team of the year. They're the best thing going right now in wrestling. I'm biased. They're my favorite tag team. I love Dax Harwood. I love Cash Wheeler. Dax Harwood's my favorite wrestler. Self-admittedly, but he has been on an impeccable run. Matches with Punk, Will Ospreay, Adam Cole, the one-on-one match between Cash Wheeler and the Owen Hart tournament, where not one punch was thrown. Fantastic matches. I'm glad to see guys that maybe aren't the entertainers and the big money makers. They're getting theirs in Ring of Honor. And hats off to Claudio and FTR. Claudio.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think talking about this weekend, I know we went offshoot with talking about Claudio. That happened a couple weeks ago. Can't talk about this weekend and not talk about the big thing last night, and that is Ric Flair's last match. I'll tell you, I don't know if you had a chance to watch it. I know when I talked to you earlier, you had not, or when I talked to you last night. But for what it was, I thought it wasn't bad, but it was rough to watch.
That's similar to what people have told me. I'm going to watch it probably later today. I'm happy he made it through alive.
Yeah.
But there's no reason he should ever wrestle again. And I guess when you have done what you have, when you've done what he's done, you can go out on your terms. But yeah, I'm happy he's alive and made it through the match.
I 100% agree. There was a spot where Lethal suplexed him, and they were trying for a superplex, but Flair fell off the ropes or whatever, and it was just a normal superplex. And I was looking at that, and I'm like, he's going to die. This is going to be what kills Ric Flair, and they're putting it on live pay-per-view. It was scary.
I'm happy it's done, and I heard there was some pretty good matches on the card. I haven't, like I said, I'm going to go back and watch it later, but I'm actually kind of happy it's said with and done. And, yeah. And it's on to the next thing now. I was soured on it from the start. I was mad when he had the picture perfect retirement at WrestleMania 24 and then went to TNA and wrestled a few times, or Australia to wrestle Hogan. I was down. I didn't like that, but hey, if you're that old and you're him, you do what you want. And he did. And props to him. I'm just happy he didn't die doing it.
Yeah, I can completely agree with that. So glad he's okay and made it through the match. Yeah, that's pretty much all I've got to say. I only watched his match. I didn't see the rest of the card. I heard it was pretty good, but his match was rough to watch. And the fact that he got himself busted open, which is kind of his signature from the 80s, that made me a bit squeamish. And just some of the moves. Yeah. Stay out of the ring, Rick, for your own good.
Yeah. It's, I'm glad it's over. And, you know, it's like on to the next thing. I'll tell you this here at Card Subject to Change, you know, we had to touch on SummerSlam like that and break it down. But man, we're going to be all over the place. I know stuff goes on during the week with regular programming and stuff comes up, but I'm definitely looking forward to this, especially like for post pay-per-view reaction. I think that's when we're going to have the most fun on here, Wizard.
I can agree with that. I know one thing, I'm huge on nostalgia, so I watch a lot of older stuff. I get so disillusioned with modern wrestling that I feel like I have to go back and watch some of the better stuff from days gone. It makes me feel better. It makes me remember how I was, where I was, when that stuff happened. And that's something that I'm looking forward to talking to. Hey, what are you watching this week?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've always got four or five different shows up, and I'll have more for you there next week, but definitely watch SummerSlam. I'm going to go back and watch it again. I know I missed some stuff, but yeah. We love all types of wrestling here, all types. We're going to be talking about AEW for sure. Maybe touch on some GCW, definitely some Impact. You know, I don't watch Impact, but I keep up a little bit with what's going on. Hey, yeah. We're just here to talk wrestling. We're just here to talk wrestling and have fun and make fun of each other.
And on that note, I think a good thing that, and I'm just going to throw this out there. I know we haven't talked about it, but I think a good thing to talk about while we're doing our topics next week is what brought us into wrestling. What
absolutely
crystallizing moment. And for me, there were a couple.
Sure.
We'll go into them now. Let's save that for next week. But I think that that'd be fun to just talk about where our wrestling journey started and how we got to where we are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hi, my name's Nick. I'm 42 years old, and I'm addicted to pro wrestling.
My name is Chris. I'm 42. I'm also addicted to pro wrestling.
So, yeah, I love it. I can't wait to talk more about it. I'm glad we are allowed this platform here. I'm thankful to DJ Jarvis for that. But I'm telling you what, card subject to change is going to be fun. It's going to be all over the place. And tell you what, expect the unexpected.
Yeah. And, you know, we're just two guys talking about something we love passionately. I know if you have any comments or questions, you can reach out. My Twitter handle is the Wizard CZ, or I guess at the Wizard CZ. So I'm easy to find. Reach out. Tell us what you think. Happy to hear from you.
I'm at Nick Bull 55. Reach out. Hit me up. I know we will get some social media going up here once the podcast picks up some steam, but I'm looking forward to it, bud.
Same here. All right, until next week, my friend.
All right. Be watching wrestling and suspend disbelief.
Yep, absolutely.